Good evening, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson, and this is the Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM and 101 or 92.7 FM. And the Paul Revere Show is with you every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Delighted to have you back. Another beautiful fall night, full moon. If you haven't checked it out, folks, go check it out. It is gorgeous out there. Even though it is going to shine on us the day after our Packers got crushed in London. But anyway, back to bigger and better things. Talking about democracy in the state of Wisconsin, and I'm delighted to have Luann Bird back tonight. She is the candidate for the 84th Assembly District, and she's going to give us an update. So, hello, Luann, how are you?
Hello, Mark, I'm great. How are you? Thank you for hosting.
You know, as I said, it's a beautiful night here. I'm looking out my window and the full moon smiling down. And I've spent the afternoon, most of it, in a closed session of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. All I can tell folks is that the staff in Madison is working really, really hard with clerks, municipal and county clerks all over the state of Wisconsin, getting ready for this huge election that we're coming up. And that puts you right on the front burner, Luann. Tell us what's happening with your campaign in the 84th.
Well, you sure had a good segue in there, because democracy is on the ballot. It's on the ballot. And my campaign from the very beginning was really about that. It was about my concern for voting rights and voting processes and the lack of civility. It really ties in well to what I tell people at the doors every time. You know, I think the political system is broken, it's divided, and it's ineffective. It's just not working the way we would like it to work. And everyone at the doors agrees with me. That is a serious problem. And of course, you know, with all the political ads going on right now, people want change, which is why I'm happy to tell you that my campaign is going really well. We're on track to reach our goals. We've raised quite a bit of money. I've knocked on personally 3,000 doors, and we've got volunteers writing postcards and canvassing for us. The campaign is going great. I think the most fun part for me, well, two things are really, really exciting. One is what I learn from talking to the voters. That to me is just the ultimate. And the second thing that's really surprised me is the number of diverse people that have gotten on board with this campaign. We have over 1,000 donors already through Act Blue and checks. That's a lot of people, and from all over the country, that have they're looking at this particular race. Because to refresh our memories a little bit here, this is a district where they redrew the lines. It's an open seat, and it's the most winnable, one of the most winnable seats in the state. And so we have an opportunity here to flip one. And people know the seriousness of getting Democrats elected, of changing the political culture, of change. So the campaign's been going just great.
So let me just, you know, help refresh listeners. You've been living in the district for quite a while now, right?
Yeah, for 10 years.
And the your opponent is a relatively newcomer, right?
Yeah.
So what are you hearing at the doors?
I am hearing that the voters want change, that they're very tired of the way things get done. And a lot of them are just having a hard time thinking about even voting. They don't like to watch TV. But when we get beyond all that, and I talk to them about the chance to vote for change. It's me or a career politician. You know, that's what their choice is. If they want change, I give them that option. The issues that I'm hearing consistently about, though, are education. What are we doing for our kids? There's also a lot of false information out there, which is really disturbing. People are starting to believe that we're teaching transgender in first grade or kindergarten, or that we're that we're teaching critical race theory in our schools. And when I go to those doors, I'm very concerned about how people are undermining public education, and they're pitting parents against teachers. There's even been this Parents' Bill of Rights introduced. And that's just concerning a lot of people at the doors. And what I tell them is this: I have 10 years experience on school boards, and then I was a consultant for another 10 years. So I can tell you that that stuff will not happen in our schools. And in fact, I'm happy to tell you it's not happening right now. But, you know, I try not to take people on at the doors. I just tell them, well, I certainly agree. We should not be teaching transgender, you know. And I know there's an ad out there suggesting that our governor is, but it's just not true. So I hear a lot about education. I hear a lot about crime and what we can do. And I'm totally surprised at the number of people that just come out with it. Why do we still have assault rifles out there? Why can't we do something about that? And Mark, this comes from Republicans and Democrats alike. It isn't any one party now that's saying that we should keep assault rifles available to anyone who wants one. I mean, they want some of these common sense gun controls. They want mental health address. Not one person disagrees with that, you know, and they want the biggest issue, though, now, women's freedom to choose their reproductive health care. Men, women alike are just telling me, I ran into a guy on the street and I said to him, introduced myself, wasn't sure what door he was from, but I just said, hi, you know, running for public office. What is it that you're concerned about? And he goes, well, he says, I've got two daughters. And I knew right where this was going to go. And then I had another guy that came out, and he was probably in his 70s. And he says to me, the first thing he says is, what's your stance on abortion? And I said, well, I believe it's a choice between a woman and her doctor and a woman and her God. And I don't believe right now, I said to him, a physician who is in the middle of a life-saving operation might have to consult an attorney to provide an abortion to save that mother's life. And that's just wrong. And he said, you have my vote. So I'm hearing a lot about that. And I do think women and men are going to come out and vote in this election in big numbers.
So that's just
very concerned.
Let's just go back a little bit and get into a couple of these issues a little bit more. You know, we're talking about education, and you mentioned transgender. So the confusion is, you know, what is the confusion, first of all? Because obviously you have transgender children that are in public schools. So what is your position, being involved with education for years and years? And folks, you know, this is not a new issue for you. How do you provide public education that gets us all where we need to go?
My position is this, that first of all, we're not teaching transgender and we shouldn't be in our schools. But what we do have to work out is, how do you treat everybody with respect? How do you treat children? How do you create a safe environment for children that are going through some sort of an identity change here? Because they have every right to be educated. Everyone has a right to be educated in our public schools. And people really like to hear my solution. It is a local issue. It is not something we should mandate or legislate from the top down, because each school district should get comfortable, should have those conversations with their parents and with their students about how can we comfortably make this work. And I cite the example of when I was on an ADA committee, Americans with Disabilities Act committee, once, and they were requiring two bathrooms to be put in for wheelchairs in each stall. Instead, our committee said put one in the middle, and that was for wheelchairs, men and women. It made sense. So I'm confident, and I tell voters this, that we will work this out. It's just new. It's something people have to process and get used to, just like we had to get used to gay marriage. And now that's finally been normalized. And I think that's where we'll get to with transgender. We may never understand it. Someone who's not going through it, hasn't met anyone, may never understand it. But we have to care. We have to care. We have to treat everyone with respect. And they deserve to be safe in our schools and in our communities.
Thanks for clarifying that. Now I want to touch on, you know, you mentioned gay marriages have been normalized. Now, and this ties into your, if I was listening to you carefully about reproductive rights, and we'll just start this discussion, then we'll have to go to a break in a couple of minutes here, but then we'll come back and finish it up. So we had for 50 years, essentially, a woman's right to choose. Mm-hmm. The woman had finally the constitutional right to take care of her own health and make her own decisions. And earlier this year, we had a Supreme Court decide, you know, by a few people on their own, that women don't have these rights anymore. You say that it has a big impact at the doors.
Sure does, at every door.
So what are you hearing on that issue? Are people like, I'm gonna vote? Are they angry? You know, what are they saying?
Earlier on in the campaign, I really had to help a lot of people process it, first of all, because what they were concerned about is that, if you don't agree with the way, well, Wisconsin's law, first of all, goes back to 1849, I believe. It's a very old law that completely bans abortion, and it's not even clear in the case of the life of the mother what can happen in the operating room. It's just not clear.
Okay, we're going to be right back, Luann.
We'll pick this up.
All right, folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night, WAUK, 540 AM, 101 or 92.7 FM. We'll be right back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. I am here with Luann Byrd, the Democratic Party candidate for the District 84, an open seat being taken on by a queer politician that actually, you know, lost running for mayor of my great city of Milwaukee and figured he's going to try to sandbag somebody elsewhere. But Luann, before the break, we were talking about the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in Dobbs and reversing 50 years of a woman's right to control her own reproductive rights. And you were saying something very interesting. You were saying that at first you were really had to sort of educate people at the doors, but there's been a change. What is that change?
Yeah, people had to process. If I support choice, does that mean I support abortion? And I've had to explain to them, no. Those are two different things. I don't support abortion. It might not be a choice I would ever make. But the point is, the government shouldn't mandate that choice. That's up to me. I ran into a young woman who had a daughter who was 21 now. And she said she was 20 when she got pregnant. And she made the choice to have her daughter. And she said she didn't know how she'd feel if it was forced on her. And I thought that was a good way to look at, I mean, it helps me understand the importance of choice. And right now, women don't have that choice. And people at the doors want change. They want change in a lot of ways and in a lot of areas so that we can get to the heart of this issue, which everyone at the doors, almost everyone, the few that don't, Mark, are the ones that just really believe God will take care of it. And I understand where they're coming from there. So that's okay. We're just not going to agree on that issue, and that's okay. But the majority of people want change, and they want at least an exception for rape and incest. And then we have to educate them that late-term abortions only happen when there's a serious medical complication. So, you know, I'd also tell them this about myself. I say I'm all for compromise, whatever it takes, you know, to start to solve our problems. I'm willing to do, I'm willing to look at, I'm willing to take, you know, baby steps if that's what it takes to get to the end goal. So going to the doors has been really interesting. I had, and thoughtful questions. One guy's sitting there on his little, you know, shovel handle, and he says, I got a question for you. How am I going to know? Because I keep saying, I want to change things. I want to be civil. I want to be able to talk and listen to people, work together, get things done. We can solve these issues. And I'm getting stronger at that because I'm hearing it from 3,000 doors that everybody wants change. They want us to solve these problems. They're sick of the political bickering. Let's just solve them. And he says, what can you do about that? How am I going to know when you're elected that you're different? How am I going to know that? And it really caused me to step back and think about that, Mark. I had to think, well, what am I going to do? And I half jokingly, I've always told people, when I get down there, the first thing I'm going to do is take everybody out to lunch. And actually, that's not so funny. The truth is, the first thing I'm going to do is build relationships. I'm going to listen. I'm going to get to know people. And then it occurred to me, he was looking for, what are people looking for in their elected officials? They do want change. And I thought about, I told this story then. Okay, when it came to my husband being paralyzed, I didn't always know what to do. You know, the first step was I called the secretary. I say, the school's not wheelchair accessible. That didn't work. Went to the next level. Okay, I took the next step. Called the principal. Well, that didn't work. Called the next step. Went to the superintendent. You know, well, that didn't work. And then I joined the League of Women Voters, and they say, go to the school board. And frankly, back then, Mark, I didn't even know there was such a thing. So I end up at the school board asking for a committee to get formed. And then I took the next step, which was to get elected myself. And then I took the next step, and that was not by myself at all. That was, you know, the committee, we got an assessment done, and the next step came assessment of the district, and it was $5 million to upgrade the whole district. We then, the full board and the community, with the support of the community, we could pass referendums and get it done. So that's what I tell people. What do I think I can do? Well, I don't know. But I can tell you, the first step is I got to get elected. And I'm not going to make promises I can't keep. So that's what this whole campaign has been about. It's been about honesty. It's been about being realistic. It's about saying you don't know when you don't know. Not making promises, but about being very real and telling people, I care about you, I care about the issues, and we can get things done. And I think that's such a popular message that young people have jumped on board my campaign. Young musicians have conducted a series of concerts all around people's backyards in my district, and it was called Bird Songs. And all these young musicians, different ones at every concert, gave their time because they want civility. It's called Citizens and Musicians Amplifying Civility Through Music and Action. And that's what it's been all about. My campaign's all about action. What can you do to change things? It isn't me. I'm the candidate. I'm running on a civility platform. I know I can get things done. But I'm offering this up to you, to everyone who's listening to this, to every door I knock on. It's really up to you to want to change and for you to take that next step, just like I did. Take the first step. Vote for me. Let's start right there. I don't even have to talk about Bob. I just vote for me because I want change. I want to take care of you. I want what you want. And now just a quick final concert is coming up October 20th at the Cooperage.
There you go.
I wanted to mention that as an opportunity for your listeners. Because 9 different musical groups are donating their time, and it's all about collective change, and it's about collective action. And it's called We May Well Be the Ones, based on a song by Peter Westerberg. We may well be the ones to turn the world on its ear. We may well be the ones. If not, then why are we here? And they're all 9 groups going to perform that song at the end. So I would invite all your listeners, you can all be my guest. There is a little donation to get in, but if you know, be my guest, just tell them I said that. And be part of the change.
I hope you and these young folks are getting people registered to vote, right? Isn't that the first step? Getting registered to vote.
Absolutely. And I'm taking notes at the door. Some people ask me, what is the assembly? So I have to explain to them what that is. But I got a kick out of a young guy at the end. I said, do you think you can vote for me? That's just after, 5 minutes. He says, well, you had me in the first 10 seconds. I thought that was cute.
You got 10 seconds. What do you have to say to our listeners?
I say, get out there and vote. Make sure you vote. Please call up at least 5 of your friends and tell them to vote. And then after the election, I say, get involved. Get involved and make sure, hold us accountable, those of us that get elected, to getting done what you want.
Ann Bird.
Thank you.
We are on the break. Good luck.
Thank you.
Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are here at WAUK 540 AM 101 or 92.7 FM every Monday night from 7 to 8. I am just like tickled pink to have Sarah Godlewski, Wisconsin State Treasurer, with us tonight. Former candidate for the U.S. Senate, a woman of integrity and power that has really brought so much to the state. Our motto is forward. Sarah has always been forward looking. And I'm just so happy to have her because she is off on a new endeavor with a new pack, right? Women Win Wisconsin, Sarah. Welcome. Tell us about it.
Well, thank you, Mark. It's really great to be here. And I know, like, you and your Luann, who was on just before me, I mean, we all know that in Wisconsin, you only win by a few votes. I mean, this is really what it comes down to. And when I look at this election in particular, that's now less than a month away, I don't know how many of your listeners, Mark, have heard this is the most important election of our lifetime. I mean, I think that we can count 2016, 2018, 2020, and here we are in 2022. But I truly believe that it is, because when you look at what's at stake, we've got to make sure that we reelect Governor Evers. We've got to have that goalie to stop some of those insane bills coming out of the legislature. We've got to make sure that we finally get rid of Ron Johnson and elect Mandela Barnes. But the third kind of leg to this democracy stool is the legislature. And we are literally 6 seats away from becoming a Republican supermajority, a supermajority. We're literally, we're 1 seat in the Senate and 5 seats in the Assembly. And so for me, what I was really trying to think through after I got out of the Senate race was, what can I do to help these legislative races? Because we need all of us to make sure that we win these legislative races, because Appleton matters to what happens in Madison. You know, Luann's district, you might not be in it, but if we have a Republican supermajority, it's going to impact all of us. And so that's where I got together and with the, you know, talking to the Assembly Dems and the Assembly Senate, saying, who are your top 6? And right now I'm supporting, we started this kind of entity called Women Save the Veto. And we're supporting 6 candidates across the state. Luann is one of them, because there's just too much at stake and we can't forget about the legislature come November 8th.
Well, we've talked about a little bit about Luann. Who are the other 5? Where are they at? And how did you go about really focusing in on these 6 women to make this impact in this crucial election?
Well, so I think there's a few things. I mean, one is these 6 women are running in incredibly competitive districts. whether they are incumbents or they're running in open seats that Biden has won. And we also are a state that has not reached anywhere near parity when it comes to representation with women at the table in our state legislature. And we have seen how rights have been attacked. And so for me, it was about, we need to get these pro-choice Democratic women at the table. And so there are, as you noted, because we are six away from becoming a Republican supermajority, the six are starting with the Senate. And further north, we are supporting Kelly Westland out of Ashland, Wisconsin. So she would be taking Janet Buley, who was the former leader of the Senate for the Democrats, her open seat. Kelly worked for Senator Baldwin. She's run for Congress up there. She has great name recognition, is just an incredible story. And it's a seat that we have to keep. Blue in Wisconsin. The other state Senate supporter that I'm supporting is Chris Alfheim out of Appleton, Wisconsin. I don't know if you have had Chris on your show yet, Mark, but you need to, because Chris is like, checks every box. She's like a dream candidate. She grew up on a dairy farm in rural Wisconsin. She now has a career in finance. And something that I love about Chris is we can dork out all day about how broken our tax system is, how the wealthy is not paying their fair share, and how we know that shared revenue in the state needs to go back to communities so they can hire their firefighters and build their parks that they need to. But Chris is a really strong candidate, and this is an open seat. This is a seat that we can win as Democrats. Every election, we've gained almost 5 points. And so the last time we lost, it was 47% to the Democrat and then the 53% to the Republican. And if you took those 5 points, we'd get her over the edge. So those are the two Senate candidates. The four Assembly candidates is, you heard from Bird is the Word, your very own Luann Bird. And we're really excited that she can flip that seat. I mean, Biden won her district by almost 52% in 2020. And so this is not some sort of like hyperbole, Mark, like this is reality. We really believe that we can flip this seat. And Luann is putting in the work, knocking on the doors and talking about civility, which we know, like, people are like, enough of the extremism and let's have common sense. And Luann is that candidate. Another incumbent, one incumbent that we're supporting is Katrina Shanks out of Stevens Point. She's been serving Stevens Point for a decade, almost a decade, a little less. And her, because of the census, her district became a bit more competitive. So we need to keep her. Lee Snodgrass is an incumbent that her lines were also drawn in a way that makes her seat a lot more competitive. And she's out of Appleton. And then Lori Palmieri is Gordon Hintz, who used to be one of the leaders of the Democratic caucus on the Assembly. He has since retired. She's running to replace Gordon. So we need to make sure that seat is held by a Democrat. And Lori is currently the mayor of Oshkosh. And we need to win in Ron Johnson's own backyard, Mark. But I will tell you, these candidates have the grit, have the personal story, and are doing the work that is needed to make sure that we win these districts on November 8th.
Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, I think a lot of folks sometimes forget how gerrymandered we become, right? Because we are a purple state. You said it at the outset. This is a race, dead heat. This is all about who's going to show up and who cares the most and which way is our democracy going. But tell folks, you know, what you're talking about, a supermajority. How is it that they've gerrymandered us that we even have to have this discussion, right? I mean, we shouldn't even be afraid of a supermajority if it was fair, if we had fair districts. So what are people saying to you and when you go around the state and you're supporting people? What are they saying about this?
I mean, I will tell you, democracy is something that comes up a lot because folks are trying to understand how can our state be cut into pieces in a way that doesn't truly represent the kind of the way that it should be. And as you know, one of my first experiences with this, Mark, was in the 2018 election. You know, we saw how for the first time since, what was it, 1982, all constitutional officers were Democrats, yeah. All constitution. But yet we only took 38% of the legislature.
And like, wow, right?
Like, and I mean, we were playing this game and we literally, these districts in Wisconsin look like letters in the alphabet. Like you can spell Mark with some of these districts, which is just mind blowing when you should only be able to spell like, you know, O-O-O-O-O all over the place. Like it, and the fact that it, I think what is so troubling is to know that this has been happening right under our noses and we've got to make sure that, we don't allow this supermajority to happen, which is why we can't forget about these down ballot races. And, you know, I'm appreciative of you bringing on these candidates to talk about it because while it might not, they might not be running statewide, there is a statewide impact if this happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's for real. You know, the whole idea, I mean, this, let's just talk about. The governor called a special session to talk about reproductive rights in the state of Wisconsin after the Dobbs took us back, right? 50 years of women's rights gone, just, you know, in 1 second. And now we're in a situation where we're living with a law that was in 1849 before women could vote. And right? The governor calls a special session. Tell the listeners what happened.
Well, I think that the story of reproductive freedom in our state is an absolute horror story. I mean, you think about it. The Supreme Court went back on precedent, overturned a case, and in that one foul swoop, sent half our population back to 1849. I mean, a time, Mark, where we weren't even in the Civil War yet. You know, no. We didn't have running water. Women weren't allowed to vote. I mean, it was a very, very different time. And all of a sudden, we're turning the on switch on instantly in 2022 and saying that Wisconsinites, that's what you have to abide by when it comes to your reproductive freedom. It's completely horrifying. And I think, you know, to your point, Mark, look, what have our elected officials done? Well, on the Democratic side, Governor Evers said, all right, let's do a special session and clear the cobwebs and like get rid of this 1849 law. Like this is something that should not be in modern day society. Like let's take care of it. And the legislature gaveled in and gaveled out despite a majority of Wisconsinites don't want Roe overturned. Like this isn't a Democrat or a Republican issue. This is an issue about rights.
This is about an issue about women and having the right to choose their health and their reproductive rights.
They don't want politicians making healthcare choices, Mark. This is pretty basic.
Yeah, especially like, you know, some white men that are thinking like it's 1849, right?
Right.
No human being would think that was a good idea, and certainly no reasonable woman wants to go back.
No.
I mean,
no.
Yeah.
I mean, and let's just even talk then about the next legislative move. So the legislature gaveled in and gaveled out with less than a minute, didn't even debate it. And then, so now Republicans were making then this other argument. They're like, oh, let the voters decide. Let's do a Kansas City and let the voters decide. Well, in Wisconsin, we don't have a process that allows voters to make amendments to our statutes or constitution. Like we are a state that doesn't allow it. So what does the governor do? He's like, well, let's have the people change that. I mean, Ron Johnson said that that's what we should do. And yet the Republicans gaveled in and gaveled out and didn't even allow that legislation to go through at a time when it's required.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, in less than 10 seconds, they shut it all down. And what is part of, I think part of this issue to me, and let's, we're coming up on a break here in a few seconds, but what do we have to do to get folks more active in this discussion? You know, I just think so many folks, they're busy going to work, they're busy taking care of their kids, they're trying to plan vacations, you know, they're getting married, they're going to funerals, they're doing life. So on the other side of this break, Sarah, let's talk about what we have to do to help people participate more. Folks, this is the Paul Revere Show. Attorney Mark Thompson will be right back after a break.
Mark, instead of... I'm muting.
All right, folks, we are back. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are here with Sarah Godlewski, the Wisconsin State Treasurer. And we're talking about the state of democracy and this big election coming up. So, Sarah, as you've been traveling around the state and, you know, you ran an amazing, excellent race for the Senate. We thank you for your ideas and putting yourself and your whole, you know, all your, just you out there, right? I mean, it's rough. People don't know. It's 24/7 and, you know, you're just out there raw. And, you know. So what are people, what do you sense about, you know, what is this purple state going to do?
Yeah, and I think something, Mark, that you hit on right before the break was about how do reproductive rights, how do we communicate this and how is it going to impact the election? And I think something that, you know, listeners that are tuned into your show today, I would say are very aware of what is, you know, what is going on in Wisconsin. And not every Wisconsinite has that luxury. You know, like folks are working, they're running after their kids. And I think something for me that we cannot take for granted is that people know about this 1849 law and that they don't have access to abortion and that there are no exceptions, not even for rape or incest, and that the retribution on the other side is putting doctors in jail. I will tell you, I was talking to some young women and they had no idea. They thought that we were like Minnesota and somehow that they were, you know, there was just an exemption to what was going on. And so I do think that we just can't make any assumptions about what people know about. And I think it's really important that we are talking about this, whether it's at the kitchen table, to our friends or our family, and that we know that you know, the repercussions are severe. So that, I think, was something that was really eye-opening for me when I travel and have these conversations. I think the other big thing is since Dobbs, we've seen an increase in voter registration for women. It's increased almost 16%, 15.8. And we have to make sure that we are encouraging these new voters to vote, but also vote the entire ticket. Something right. that we have seen in these races is that, you know, you look at Robin Vining, who won in a very close election a few years ago. She won in a recount by 138 votes. And that's really it for all of these races. We are talking about like a few votes per precinct. And so I think we've got to talk, be out there. And I think supporting these six women running in these competitive races not only will help save democracy with the legislature, they're going to also support the governor and support Mandela because it's up and down the ticket together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the focus really is, you know, I think a lot of people just really don't know how bad it is.
Right.
You know, you drive around and you go like, how can, you know, how can we think we're going to go back to 1849. It can't be really true.
Right.
And then it is, you know, I mean, Luann said it earlier, you know, gay marriage has become sort of normalized. But you read that Dobbs decision, gay marriages are right next, right? I mean, if you don't have a constitutional right to for your reproductive rights, which was in legalese terms substantive due process, that's next. So I think this is me being a little preachy right here. It, folks, there is so much at stake about our lives. And there are, you know, if you're just going about your business thinking things are the same, they really are different, right? I mean, they're different. And so go ahead, Sarah.
And I was going to say, I think the other big thing is we know that just plain and simple, politicians should not be making our healthcare choices. And we know that right now is what they are making that choice is saying, yes, we should. But I think the other thing that, you know, in my conversations, Mark, across the state is let's talk about medical students. You know, we have two medical colleges here in Wisconsin. Most of those graduates end up working in Wisconsin and are the number one feeder to our rural hospitals where we are already understaffed. And I will tell you, in my conversations with these medical students, they're like, I don't know if I want to continue my residency here. I think I want to go to Illinois or to Minnesota. And if we see these numbers drop, it could have a severe impact on our workforce when it comes to medical and whether it is helping to deliver babies to as simple as taking care of our seniors. And then on the flip side of that, I've been having conversation with business owners and they're talking about their worry in recruiting, whether it's young women, young families, because of the concerns associated with, you know, half women have fewer rights here than they do over state lines right down the street. And so these are becoming what might be secondary effects in this policy that we've got to address because it's critical to Wisconsin. Wisconsin's already dealing with a brain drain. We have been struggling with that. And we've got to do everything to keep people and to attract people, not to scare young folks and young families away from our state.
Right. No, I think that's really, really important. You know, this election in many ways is going to be generational in the sense of which vote is for the future going forward and which is going backwards. And, you know, for Wisconsin, I think this is such an opportune time. People forget, you know, we're surrounded by so much fresh water, right? Lake Superior, Lake Michigan. This is where people will want to go. And so we should be attracting young people now, and they should not be afraid that they don't have equal rights in our state. I mean, it's phenomenal. Are you seeing a lot of young people, in particular young women, getting really sort of fired up on this issue?
They are fired up, but it's like anything. We've got to meet them where they are and talk to them. We can't just assume. I mean, I will tell you, Mark, how many 20-somethings are watching cable news? They're not. They're streaming on TikTok. They're watching on, you know, Netflix and Hulu. And so we've got to be really conscientious, I think, in meeting young folks where they are, communicating to them. But they are the future. In my conversations, I'm incredibly hopeful and inspired because this is not the Wisconsin that they want to live in, and they know that their vote can make that difference.
Sarah Godlewski, thank you so much. Thank you for all your great work you've done on behalf of taxpayers. Thank you for your fight for women. And folks, young people don't necessarily listen to the radio either, but they do podcasts. Yeah. So go grab your Devil's Radio podcast. Use it. We will be back next Monday, folks.
And Mark, if people are interested, they can visit more information about these candidates at womenwinwisconsin.com.
Womenwinwisconsin.com, folks. I'll be back next week.